And good morning, everyone. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and I'd like to welcome you and thank you for joining the Adopted Standards Task Force. As a reminder, your feedback is welcomed, which can be typed in the chat feature to everyone throughout the meeting, or can be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled at about 11:50 Eastern Time this morning. So I'm going to begin roll call of our task force members, and when I call your name, please indicate that you are here. And I'll start with our co-chairs, Hans Bloomdeck.
Good morning.
Steve Eichner.
Good morning.
Jeff Danford. Raj Gavarti. Tim Gerges. John Kilbourne.
Good morning.
Hung Lu.
Good morning.
Glenn McDonald. Devin McGraw.
Good morning.
Elio Oliveira.
Good morning.
Bastille Pechev. Samantha Pitts. Alexis Snyder.
Good morning.
Bill Sutherland.
Good morning.
Tom Sharam is not with us today, but he should be back next week. Raymond Wee.
Good morning.
And Debbie Willis.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you, everyone. Now, please join me in welcoming back Hans and Steve for the opening remarks.
Steve, why don't you start? I just got back from PTO, so appreciate being back again and looking forward to the discussion.
This is Steve Eichner. We'd certainly like to welcome Hans back, as well as all of our task force members, for another good day of discussion. We're going to be going through a little bit more of our charge, which is looking at the standards that are in regulation and providing some feedback for the HITECH to review and then forward to ONC regarding whether the standards should be maintained or retired or in some cases potentially updated. I think we've got some exciting things going on and some exciting discussion for today, and again, would like to welcome you all. And Hans, floor is yours.
All right. So looking at the agenda, we are going to look at updates to the draft recommendation in a moment. And then we also will have a couple of topics in the ONC standards review where we are looking at particular ones where we're going to have some updates on. So we hope to get to that and then shortly, and then we go from there. And I think where we are from a draft recommendation is that we have, and I'm not sure whether you can easily already share that we are starting to shift, as I just learned, which is great, to move from a spreadsheet format into a Google Doc Word document. That is going to make it a little bit easier that all the drafts that we have so far, that we're going to be able to edit, review them, move forward on them, and have with change tracking a little bit easier opportunity to do that than right now in a spreadsheet. But the spreadsheet was great to help get through all the materials and then go from there. So I'm not sure whether we already have the link available, Steve.
It will be coming out to task force members just after this meeting. And basically, okay, what we've done is we've taken and created some potential draft text in the form of a recommendation or a draft recommendation for forwarding to HITECH. We've created just a really loose frame document that includes each of the standards and then, in many cases, some draft language about what a recommendation could look like. The reason that we've shifted from Google Sheets to Google Docs is that Google Docs has better functionality for tracking changes and using markup with Redline. And like, and we encourage you to use that as you're making suggested changes in text. That way it's easier to see what changes may actually exist, and then looking at using some of the toggle buttons to remove some of the edits so you can see what that final text looks like. So please, in the next week, take a look at that. will help us refine some of that language, because we need to provide an update to HITECH at their meeting or the full meeting in the next couple of weeks on our status. It would be great to be able to report out that we're really close, or we've got, you know, finalized text on a number of standards and are still working through just a few leftovers. So that's kind of where we're going in that space. The worksheets are still available to you. Those links are still there. They're still live. But please, again, make edits to suggested text in the recommendations in that Google Doc document.
So with that, if we get through all the topics listed under the ONC standards review section and get all the way through group 6, then next week we would start to really begin fine-tuning the recommendations based on your comments, additional drafting that we're doing to get ready for that. So timing looks like we are on well on track and making good progress. In part, it will depend on how far do we get through today during the reviews topics that we have there. Is there anything else, Steve, that we need to add to update on draft recommendations, other than any questions that anybody may have?
I've got nothing further to add, but if there are any questions, certainly would like to entertain them and help make it as easy as possible for task force members to participate.
So any questions regarding that before we jump into the next part? If not, then let's jump into our list of topics, which starts with ASTM E2147. One of the questions that we had here is whether in 2019, an update was made, or later, an update was made that materially changed the ASTM standard that would lead us to believe that we needed to considering the newer version, or whether the changes that were put in play were smaller points, and then from there. So Liz, you have your hand up. You may have some further insight on this.
Yes, we did go ahead and do the research to figure out if there was an update in 2019. From everything that we can see and looking at what was published versus what is in regulation, this is in fact the same standard that was published in recommendation. So there is no change, even though it says 2019 out on the ASTM website.
All right, thank you. So that might imply that since there is no change in the discussion so far that we had, there was no indication that there is an alternative that we may want to consider. So perhaps this one would be that our draft recommendation is going in the direction of maintaining, because it also seems that not having this information would not be helpful either. We still need to continue to support this capability. So is there any concern or any alternative to suggesting that our draft is maintain the standard? Do not retire it, and there is no known replacement. If so, we don't hear any concerns there. I'm updating in the spreadsheet for now. I'm not shifting to the Word document yet, that we are going to go for a maintain. All right, that's first one. Second one, there were some questions on CDC race and ethnicity code set, differences between version 1 and version 1.2. And we have, if everything is correct, Carmela, you are on the line to give some feedback on that.
And just as a reminder, there was some difficulty in easily determining what the differences between version 1 and 1.2 are. So we wanted to bring in a subject matter expert to help us better understand what differences exist between the versions. So,
hi, good morning. My name's Carmela Kader, and I'm at ONC. I'm the branch chief for terminology and content delivery, and I checked into the changes in this code system between 1.0 and 1.2, and I could not find what changed between 1.0 and 1.1. However, I can tell you that the only change between 1.1 and 1.2 was to fix a typo in the label for the ethnicity code for Israeli. There was an extra vowel in the 1.1 version. So that's the only change that happened.
And in that context, so far, the vocabulary generally has been on a path of, if a more current version is available, somebody can start to use that. It's not, you're not locked into the one that's in regulation, and there's all that ready that process. Is there any reason based on this that that would not be available to this one, or is that the same holds true here? If a new version is available, then somebody can already start to use that for certification purposes.
True. I'm sorry, the second. It was an or. It's the okay. Latter.
Yeah. So it can be used if you want to. So that sounds like that it can be treated in the same way as what we have done with others. There is no indication that something substantial is different, but where there is a newer version of this and it could be done, it could follow the same as the comments that we've made for all the other vocabulary. Go to the then most current from a regulatory perspective. So replace it at as part of regulation, but keep the rule in place that you can use a more current version. Is that then and for the task force an accurate and reasonable approach to that? Alexis, go ahead. Alexis, I see your hand up, but you are still on mute.
Oh, sorry, I forgot to unmute. So I don't know if I'm misunderstanding what you're saying, Hans. Are you suggesting that we say that the 1.2 version, which just had a spelling error, update is the newest version that we should maintain? Because I mean, you weren't here last week and we had a big discussion on how this is very old and outdated and needs to be replaced.
And what would it be replaced by? Do we have a suggestion from that?
No, but I think the recommendation is that it needs to be updated and replaced, not necessarily that there's something out there, but that this should be looked into and updated.
Okay.
And at the very least, we talked about making a recommendation that ensuring that the language for race and ethnicity in this version or an updated version aligns with the current US CDI version 3.
Okay,
so it just doesn't make sense to me to say that, oh, there's a 1.2 and we should make sure that's what gets used.
So the discussion was really more about there is potentially even a better version out there that should be considered and that should be looked at.
Well, it was about content. I don't know if there was better version, but at least aligning, right, with the US CDI version 3 and making an updated version for this, like taking a look at this and updating it because it's dated March 2000 and old. Okay.
Does somebody know off the top of their head, I'm navigating to USCDI version 3, whether those two are out of sync at the moment?
Updated version 3 to reference CDC race and ethnicity code set version 1.2.
Okay. So that would further reinforce is that this one should be replaced with at least USCDI, if not whatever the then most current version is at the time that a new regulation is being considered, which could be a 1.4 perhaps already or another alternative. And Alexis, that seems to fit with, I think, what you're indicating and what Raymond indicated. Is that correct?
Yeah, this I think this is another opportunity to document that there should be alignment between whatever this standard is and what is referenced in the USCDI.
Correct.
As well as that, not knowing when a next regulation version comes out, that if that is tomorrow, let's say, then clearly your CDI version 3, 1.2 alignment, that's the one to consider most strongly. If it is a year from now or 2 years from now, hypothetical, then another version might have come out that both your CDI version X and that regulation needs to look at.
Right. Basically, looking at the idea that float all boats at the same level, so that if a particular standard is used independently and in the US CDI, both, that they're both elevated in a consistent fashion. So we're not getting internal inconsistency that says use an older version, not in the US CDI, but a more current version in the US CDI, or vice versa.
Right. So I made the draft notes should be aligned with US CDI and the then most current version of this code system. Is that reflective, summarizes the intent? Alexis, Raymond, does that?
I agree with that, Hans.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Okay. I put that in the spreadsheet. Was there anything else that was left on this topic that we should address?
I believe that was it.
Okie doke. Then sounds like that we can go to the next one, syndromic surveillance. And we have Caleb Wiedemann of the Tennessee Department of Health on the line to provide a little bit more insight on this that can help us. And Steve, any additional backdrop from last week, the week before meeting to introduce?
No, again, we're still looking, I want to get an understanding a little bit more about what the future of syndromic surveillance looks like and whether there are things that are up and coming that need to be accommodated or should be accommodated.
Okay. Caleb, are you on the line?
Morning. Yes, I am.
I do see one hand raised that just disappeared. Go ahead, Caleb.
I was going to I had my hand raised, but Caleb, please proceed. This is Rosa.
All right. I don't have any slides, but as far as what I prepared, my one point in making the recommendation to move to the newer standard is that the newer standard updates and corrects a lot of errors and points of confusion that were in the 2015 guide. And it would help a whole lot as far as giving vendors clarity on what public health is expecting. And pages 13 and 14 of the newer 2019 guide, it details the different changes and updates some legacy language and other things that are presented in the guide. And that's all I had, but I'd be happy to take questions or provide clarity on anything.
I'll just add to that. This is Rosa Ergus from Massachusetts, that many of the updates are sort of codifying interpretations that are already in place in terms of how the data are requested for the syndromic surveillance community. And so it does add some nice clarification and does not substantively change any of the data process as I understand it.
So one of the questions was also is, and it sounds like this helps clarify that, readiness of public health authorities and agencies to take that on. Sounds like this would have, from your perspective, wide support to adopt a more current version and therefore retire the older version to be more consistent along the line, and it's a reasonable step to take. Is that a fair statement?
That's my understanding, yes.
Does anybody then align with that this one is a replace with and consider the then most current version, which today is 2019? Is there any anticipation of a even more current version that's in the works that that by the time a new regulation is being considered that could be a candidate, or this is the latest one that's out there and no work in progress in that sense?
I'm not aware of one in progress right now, but I mean, it is open to the regular HL7 process for updating.
Right.
So when updates would go through, there's at least a formal mechanism for folks to provide input, and it should be an open process as opposed to the older guide, which was just a regular release with a smaller group of people.
Okay. So then it would be a replace and consider then most current version, which we think right now is the 2019, and it will stay with that. Any concerns with that? Or are we okay with that? Or mark that in our notes, and then we can flash that out. Any other questions? Anything else, Steve, on syndromic surveillance that we needed to address?
I don't think so.
Okay-o. Then we are moving nicely along onto the next topic, which is USCDI, where there were some questions on context, otherwise, and I understand, Carmela, you have an update on some of those questions and perspective we can then use to discuss further.
I do. I also sent in some slides if we want to go through those.
That would be great.
All right, let's hop to the next one. We wanted to give an overview of why USCDI matters. So USCDI stands for United States Core Data for Interoperability. And then just give a quick overview of USCDI version 3, which was just released in July, so last month. And quickly go over some of the new data classes and the new elements, and then some changes that occurred to existing data classes and elements. And if that sounds like a good set of topics, we'll just keep going. So as a reminder, for those of you who know about USCDI or those of you who are new to it, USCDI is a core set of data needed to support patient care and facilitate patient access to their own health data, and then establishes a baseline of data for other healthcare use cases. And it expands over time via a predictable, transparent, and very public process. Next slide, please. So I mentioned at the beginning, we're going to talk about USCDI version 3, but USCDI version 1 is referenced in the ONC Cures Act final rule from 2020. The data listed in USCDI version 1 is required for certification criteria, including a new one requiring API application programming interface for access to patient data using the HL7 FHIR US Core Implementation Guide. Now, as of now, USCDI also defines electronic health information for the purposes of information blocking. And as we're going to look at a timeline in just a minute, but that's going to change in the very near future. Next slide, please. So this is just a list of some of the certification criteria where USCDI comes into play. And right now, again, just as a reminder, USCDI version 1 is what's required in regulation. And Hondra had a slide up that referenced USCDI version 2, which just went through the standards version advancement process. So we're not going to go into that here, but there was a version 2 in between version 1 and version 3. Next slide. So this is just a quick look at the timeline that I've already referenced a little bit, and going across the top, when you think about why USCDI matters, it's USCDI version 1 is referenced in the Cures rule, and it's available for certification. As of December 31st, 2022, all the data elements in USCDI version 1 must be exchanged, must be available for exchange. And then if we look at the bottom of the timeline, from April 2021 to October 5th, 2022, so that's coming up pretty soon, USCDI version 1, all the data elements there, comprise the electronic information health information that's subject to information blocking rules. In October, that switches the definition of electronic health information. Just calling that out. Next slide. So here's the snapshot of US CVI version 3, and I'll just go over the key here. If you see a gold-colored box with a single star, that means it's either a new data element or a new data class. So each one of these boxes is a data class, and the individual items below the heading are what are the data elements. If you see an arrow, as in, let's go to the top center under health status and assessments, that means that was an existing data element in US CVI version 2, but it moved its home from one data class to another. And if you see a double box with gold box with a star in the middle, that means that was a data element or class that existed in version 2, but it changed somehow. So I'll just give you a couple examples. On the bottom left, I'll call out there's a data class called health insurance information, and that was brand new in US CVI version 3. And all the data elements within it are also brand new within US CVI version 3. If we look just to the right of that, we see a data class named medications. And in medications, this is actually incorrect because there should not be a star, a little gold box next to the first data element, which is just called medications, but the four below it are new data elements, dose, dose units of measure, indication, and filled status. So that's the pattern of how you interpret this diagram. And I just will call out a changed data element. So if we look on the bottom right under vital signs, at the second from the bottom, there's a data element called weight for length percentile. And underneath that, it says, in parentheses, it says birth to 24 months. Well, if you look in US CVI version 2, that would say birth to 36 months. And the reason that was changed is because that age range overlapped with BMI percentile for 2 to 20 years. So we made it more clear that the certification testing on the patient's age, if it's from birth to 24 months, will test for weight for length percentile. But once that child is 2 years old, then it's BMI percentile. Are there any questions about any of the information that's on this slide? I know it's a lot to look at, but sometimes your eyes can be drawn to those gold squares, and that tells you what changed. I see a question in the chat. Is it appropriate for me to take that now or
sure.
No?
Yep.
Okay. In US CVI version 3, it seems to note the data element and the code system are standard to use in some cases. But how do implementers know the actual codes to use for exchange? That is a very good question. And the specific one of the changes we made in version 3 is we removed reference to specific value sets. However, we reference code systems. And the reason for that is that terminology changes at a faster pace than these standards can. And what we count on are the implementation guides from HL7 to reference the specific value sets. So that's how you know the actual codes to use for exchange. And we also, some of you might be familiar with the interoperability standards advisory, where we provide a compendium, so a list of, say, value sets or code systems that can be used for the different data elements. But in the end, it's the implementation guides that define that. Good question. Oh, thanks for putting that link in. Next slide, please. So here's some of the questions. I should mention, I forgot to mention at the very beginning, Al Taylor prepared these slides, but he couldn't be here today. He's on vacation, so I'm filling in for him. So here's some questions we got ahead of time. How do we operationalize the changes from USCBI version 2 to version 3? Well, we do that through the HL7 implementation guides. And in the case of CCDA, they've been doing it through companion guide updates. Where do we sit in the regulatory process? Well, as I mentioned, USCDI version 1 is referenced in the final rule, and the data defined in USCBI version 1 is required to be exchanged by the end of 2022. And then also it played a role, a temporary role, in the definition of electronic health information. I'm going to skip over the next one because we weren't too sure what you were looking for there. And then we had received a comment to consider adoption of USCDI as a block, not as pieces. And absolutely, USCDI is a complete standard. Certified Health IT can't decide to implement just a piece of it and not another piece. So if we want to talk about that third bullet, maybe you could help me out by what you were looking for.
Steve, do you have further backup on the dependency management with SPEP, or somebody who particularly raised that question?
Sure. That's looking at the SVAP process and how are things related between USCDI and standards that may be included in SVAP to maintain alignment between what is adopted through the USCDI and what may be promoted through SVAP in case there's a conflict.
Okay, I see. So USCDI with the data elements may reference, depending on the data element, may reference some sort of code system. So for example, we added occupation and occupation industry, and we reference occupational data for health. But that a code system is not referenced in the SVAP process. So code system versions do not move through SVAP. So the fact that USCDI itself is a standard that can be, this isn't really a verb, but can be SVAP'd. just like USCDI version 2 just made it into SVAP, so it's available for certified health IT to implement and certify to that version. So the things that move through SVAP are standards that ONC regulates. They're not, say, code system versions. So I have the sense that we're okay. I'm looking at Hans' chat.
Carmela, you can ignore my comment. That's just for the chat.
Just to interject, some of those standards in SVAP do, however, reference code sets and use code sets for implementing those standards. So how does that resolve against the code sets that might be used for USCDI?
Are you talking about the example where, say, USCDI references a version of SNOMED, a release of SNOMED, and then there's some other standard that's going through SVAP that also references a very specific release of SNOMED. And what if those are out of sync?
Correct.
I don't know that we have that situation. I'm thinking about the different implementation guides and how they bind to terminology. I don't know that they, I'd have to look, but I have the sense that in those implementation guides, they may reference a value set, but the binding strength is such that the terminology can move at a different pace than the implementation guide.
That's accurate.
Okay.
The implementation guides point normally, I'm not aware of any place where it is, to a value set that indeed has that binding. That binding can be very tight. It might say you can only use these five values, and that might be five out of a larger code system. And then the implementation guide would have to change to open it up. But there are also plenty of places where it says it's exemplar, it's extendable, it's something else that you can add on to. And then the full code system is available if that is appropriate. And the code system can then have a new version that, based on the general rule, that one can certify against the more current version of the code system, that allows you therefore to use more current values and pull them in at any point in time that a new code system version comes out. That's not done through ASFAP, and that's done through the general rule. ASFAP only deals with the implementation guides where the bindings are being referenced. So that's the mechanism by which there's flexibility where it needs to be. And there's very tight control where you can only use these five, because anything else would not make sense. And that would have to be agreed to in the standard / implementation guide that that's appropriate. And there's always a balancing act going on to not make it too tight, but also don't make it too loose either if that's going to cause problems. That's the ongoing debate in that area. Mm-hmm. And if Fasil is on the line, or Jeff, they may also know for sure whether there is an exception to that, but I'm not aware of it. Other questions? So does that clarify the ASFAP component to that? And Carmela, it might be helpful to also clarify that ASFAP adoption is voluntary.
Voluntary, yes.
Any other questions or clarifications on US CDI, how versions generally work?
All right, so that's my last slide.
All right, thank you. Any other comments, questions around that before we go back to the main question? I see that, Raimondo, you have your hand up.
Yes, thanks, Hans. So just a quick question, Carmela. Yeah, we were looking at the document published in reference on the US CDI site that has all of the new data classes and updates on the data elements. But to Lisa's point, it doesn't seem to reference, again, any of the IGs or the specifications or value sets or OIDs on the actual that document online. Do we have to rely on the tabs on the main site to look at the specifications in the IGs? Or is there another bigger document that references and comprehensively summarizes everything for developers?
That's a really good question. So US CDI is not going to declare specific implementation guides or anything like that. However, in the Interoperability Standards Advisory, ISA, which is just a compendium of available standards, you'll see a list of things that are available, standards that are available, maybe potentially code systems like SNOMED CT version or CDC race and ethnicity. And also there's references to implementation guides. However, ISA is not, it's a compendium that says this is what's available. It also has an evaluation as to whether a certain item is required to be used. So that's where you can get that information.
So, because on the document itself as well, there's no reference to the ISA. So I think that's causing some confusion.
And maybe...
Sorry, Hans, I know it's...
To clarify, is that now, purely from a developer perspective, the way we look at this and how we know what to do is that we don't look at ISA. We look at the US CDI, but we really look at the certification edition that spells out the implementation guides that are required in full or in part, depending on how the certification criterion is written, that you must comply with and that you must test to in order to now support either the guide itself, and that's sufficient, or that you, by supporting that guide, you support US CDI. So if you go to Carmela's slide, 3 or 4 back, where it said is that how are they instantiated, US CDI, beyond the vocabulary? Mm-hmm. It's the CCDA and the FHIR US Core implementation guides that really, from a developer perspective, if you are looking at HIT, that tell us what we are supposed to implement and how to implement it. And it actually contains more data than USCDI declares, because it needs to contain everything else that is needed to make it actually work. So those are the two. So by supporting FHIR US Core and CCDA, you support USCDI. And then there's a relationship between which version do you need to on the CCDA side or the FHIR US Core side to support what version of the USCDI. That you can get that by reading in reverse through the certification rules, but you cannot find that out by going through USCDI. And if you go through ISA, you might end up in areas that really are not material to what you're trying to.
Yeah, thanks, Hans. Thanks, Carmela. Appreciate the explanation.
All right, any other questions? Or Carmela, any other things that you wanted to highlight?
No, that's it for me. I think I went way beyond my allotted 5 minutes.
No worries. We needed to get through this to then go to the fundamental question for the task force then. USCDI is a standard listed right now, version 1. We know that there is now a version, not only version 2, but also a version 3 that's available. Version 2 is actually already referenced in ASVAB. Version 3 is anticipated that once the standards have caught up with them, with USCDI version 3, that the next ASVAB, assuming no other regulations would happen, would pick up on that. So our question is that should we suggest that we hold on to USCDI version 1 in the regulation as is? Sounds like that, based on the discussion conversation, probably not the recommendation we want to make, but rather that it's going in the direction of replace it with the then most current version whenever regulation is being considered. Don't stay with the old, but go to the next one. There was also discussion that we had before a little bit around if you look at that, whatever you put in regulation, make sure that the necessary implementation guides that support that are in place as well. And we had some other notes as well. And I see that Fasil's already raising his hand in part of that conversation. How do we make sure that there is some compatibility otherwise? So I'm gonna pass to Fasil. You have a comment.
Specifically the USCDI and US Core and CDA implementation guides. There are some nuances there that are very important in terms of what the current latest version is at the time of regulation, because there is a time consideration of when something is released and when it can be implemented. So for example, if the time was now and there is USCDI version 3 out, I think it would be impossible to specify USCDI version 3 right now, because most of the places haven't even done USCDI version 2. So the timing, saying simply the latest, may not be very helpful in this situation. So we need to be very, more descriptive in what we mean by the latest, and a regulation that says, for example, released now, that says that USCDI version 3 will start to be used for certification in 2 years, that is something completely different from saying it will start right now.
I think. And if we can bring up the spreadsheet, and then we'll jump to Devin and to Hung as well, is that in the spreadsheet, we had a couple of different options that we were thinking of considering where the concerns that Fasil raised are addressed in some, but not in others, and we need to talk through that. Devin, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I have a similar set of questions to the ones that Fasil just raised. Because the update of versions to US CDI seems to be moving pretty quickly. I mean, they're actually projecting that there will be a version 4 out by January of 2023. And you know, the standards advancement process allows for voluntary adoption, but to sort of require version 4 at the next regulatory rulemaking, I think we have a genuine issue here about just how quickly one can begin to mandate these different versions, because likely the uptake of different aspects of the various versions will be very different and potentially lag for some aspects of it versus the entirety. And yet you don't necessarily want to ossify version 1 by not moving past it. So I'm struggling with how to word this, because they should be migrating to the next version that is, you know, has been sufficiently tested in the market that we need to move the regulation there, but that's a little hard to predict.
And we probably can put that those considerations in there, is that I think there is a sense of general agreement that first staying with version 1 is not what we want. We want to move up. Question is it 3, 4, 5, depending on where you are in the cycle? Is it mature enough? Are there sufficient standards? Those kind of questions will raise that need to be considered. For the task force, it's not today to say use 3 or 4. We don't know when that new regulation is going to come in. So our phrasing needs to be along the lines that we indicate to ONC what aspects you need to consider to do that. And then that process at that point in time can say that if tomorrow they would come out and go forward, if we keep it wide open, it might be version 3 they're going to consider. If we pull in some of the language that Vasil indicates, V3 would not be valid because you would have to go to V2 that has actual standards for it. If we can identify a couple of those parameters to consider that are important on why to do that without getting too far, because that's not today's chart to really get to a conclusion on what it is, that would be helpful. So we have the 3 variants that we were talking about the last time. Steve, you want to jump in? And I think we have one as well.
Yeah, I was just going to remind folks as well that for things that are actually in regulation, it would go through the NPRM process, which would include a feedback period as well. So it would not be implemented by a federal rule that said, okay, the standard is being put in print today and everybody's supposed to use it tomorrow. So there is that other element that's in there. That actually isn't in the SBAT process, which may create some problems with just saying use what's in the SBAT process because of looking at compatibility between providers and, you know, looking at the ability to receive something that's implemented in SBAT if everybody's not elevated at the same time period. And there's not that same NPRM process for something in SBAT.
That's right, but SBAT is completely voluntary. So it's, you know, you don't start adopting it until you're ready to adopt it. So there's nothing mandatory about it unless there's something that I'm missing. Absolutely, there's a regulatory process for the comment to go through. But in terms of our task and what we would recommend, I liked where Hans was taking this, which is to say it would be difficult for us at this juncture to mandate a specific replacement for version 1. It should be replaced, but there's lots of dependencies to consider with the ones Hans mentioned. And, you know, we're not going to say go to version 2, version 3, version 4, or even the latest version at this particular time.
And while where we go to is that if you look at the cell X 44, the third option, if we can think about that one, the last or, and see what else we want to add to make that more clear what needs to be considered. Is there something else? Maturity, do we need to pop that in? Something else, but go ahead.
I agree with your recommendation, Hans, in terms of the language so that, you know, we follow the ONC process and it's really up to them to decide when, what version to use. US CDI to use for certification. what we can't do, as Devin said, is we cannot ASSify it so that we remain on version one, where there's no impetus for development or anything else. Because remember, this work is only designated to meet every 3 years. We cannot be holding up progress where we decide on one, then in 3 years, we're still on one, and then in 3 years, we go to two. That's not the intent, I think, of process. And so I feel very strongly that we should promote the most ready version, but we cannot stay on one.
I just included the word with an underscore just to let it jump out, not that it should be there in the final text, but to ensure mature interoperable support of UCDI version. Do we think that something like this lasts, or, and I can remove the first part, that's not likely, that's the direction we want to be heading, and that's where we want to draft a recommendation? Devin, Hung, and Vasil in particular, does that fit with the comments that you made?
I think so. Yes. For me.
Vasil?
Mature is good. I'm wondering if there is something more specific, like 2 years of SVAP availability, something like that, that would put something concrete example. So now with that, you have a kind of a relationship. Something goes to SVAP. It is expected that at some point that may become regulatory requirement. Now you'd have something that is even more specific, saying, hey, if it has at least 2 years of SVAP availability, it's very likely to become a requirement. So people, as things go into SVAP, people can start looking and say, okay, I have 2 years to figure this out. And then after that, I may have to scramble to catch up. That may be overreaching of our goal, but something like that might be actually helpful and concrete.
So I put in just two concepts of aspects of mature. There might be a few more, but if I'm hearing correctly, including those kind of words would help from your perspective, I think, if I hear it correctly. Devin, others, would that be too strong, too specific, or... Because we don't know what exactly the timeline is when we need to consider this, but we will have, as Steve indicated, that opportunity during the MPRM to further indicate whether it's sufficiently mature. My definition of that might not be exactly the same as yours, and we need to work through that. So would this help, hinder, leave that in?
I guess my main thing is that the overall process should be in the hands of ONC, not in the hands of HL7. So it can't be that we hold up everything until HL7 decides that they're going to do the implementation guides and everything else. And so, you know, there has to be impetus that, you know, ONC decides what version to go in, and that then creates the priority for HL7, not the other way around.
Right, that's always with the MPRM public comment process. It's a back and forth discussion to align the reality of where we are and where we want to be at that point in time. Do we think that we can keep that widely deployed operational in, or do we leave it more and that I'll drop that and just leave it as mature, and then that needs to be filled in further along the way, but not for today, because we really are already indicating, do something more current. That's the essence, do something more current. But we still might have a good debate as to what the most appropriate one is. We'll figure that one out when we get there.
Prefer the mature.
I'm here, and Vasil, you're gonna be okay if we drop that? We still have the notes. We sure are gonna have that conversation, that we leave it along these lines. Yay, nay.
I think it's fine, yes.
Okay. Anybody else? I saw that Alexis jumped in. You're comfortable as well if we did. So then we'll use this and we'll work out the draft and we'll have more opportunity to fine tune and get some I's dotted and T's crossed around that. But that's the direction then. Okay, no. Unless Steve, you see anything else or anybody else that we missed on USCDI, I think we have the outline of a recommendation. And that means that we can go to group six.
I think we are good.
All right.
I believe we had on the agenda to look at the draft dispositions that were identified last week and then group six.
All right. Sorry about that. What's the best place for the draft dispositions? In the spreadsheet?
Yep, I copied them over to the spreadsheet and there were only four that were highlighted for this week, and that was the secure hash standard, which I believe Raj had drafted, and then Vasil had drafted, and then group seven that Raj had drafted.
Okay.
So I have that on screen right now.
All right, so let's, so the four starting with secure hash. We did the last one and we'll let, any comments on secure hash? Can we be as strong as a must include, or is it a should include, given that we're indicating we need to do something, but.
The current language is that it is not included.
Because I thought that was indeed.
What is the current language? I'm sorry.
But the current language in the regulatory note is that SHA-1 is not included or is disallowed. So the language here is reflective of the current status.
So if that is replaced with something like should continue to include a note that SHA,
yeah,
recognize that it's already not allowed and should continue not to.
Yeah.
Okay. And I can drop over to that one as well. Then anything else on char? Not. Then let's go to the next one, Liz, that you had, that was with the group sevens. Yes. We did go through the CDC one, right? So I believe we did that. We did not go yet through value sets for administrative gender and null flavor.
We did that. We did all of these last week.
Okay. Yeah. So from that perspective, what was the end result of the value sets for administrative gender to indicate that it's the same as common one? One can use the latest vocabulary as otherwise indicated.
Yep. Number one was this verbiage.
Yeah. Okay. So everybody was okay with that. And Vasil, you had any further concerns there with, would that be a good update or replacement? Anything else to add there?
Well, I think we discussed that the current work of the Harmony project basically concludes that there is no such thing as administrative gender. There is a legal sex, there is a sex assigned at birth, and there is a gender identity. This value set for administrative gender and no flavor is a good enough representation for legal sex. And therefore, it should be maintained And if possible, it should reference legal sex and the Harmony Project in some way to lead into the future of when this type of data is represented, for example, in US Corps, where they do, I believe they will, if not leading, they're considering adopting all that information in some way.
So Dan, where Liz started to type is that what we really want to do there is recognize that it's sufficient for legal sex purposes, but that gender harmony should be referenced for a more comprehensive perspective on what is appropriate in that space to include in the next round.
And consistent with other discussions of race, of a gender.
Yep.
Such as the Gravity Project.
And that means is that then that second paragraph that starts with recommend to ONC, in this particular case, we don't need that because we're going to elaborate that first paragraph to clarify that. So there's still, we might pick up some elements of it, but it's the essence is, what's there? Does that make sense for everybody? Is there agreement that that's how we're going to finalize or work on?
I agree with this, yes.
Okay, Alexis, you have your hand up?
Yeah, I would just change the wording from good enough representation to like currently represents, or I mean, I just don't think that that language sounds good.
Okay. Yeah, and we'll have certainly lots of further editing opportunities to clean it up and make sure it's...
Yeah, or while we've got the group here looking at represents current approaches for legal sets, describing legal sex.
Yes.
And should be maintained for that purpose because of its...
How about minimally should be maintained? Because if we're talking to later on align it with newer work from the Gender Harmony Project.
And then we can work through any further edits. If anybody has further suggestions, can start to wordsmith that. Carmela, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I do. That last sentence, it says, look to gender harmony for a more comprehensive view and consistent with on SOGI attributes. So gender harmony only deals with the gender identity part of SOGI, and it does not deal with sexual orientation. So I don't know. I think you might want to say sex and gender identity related attributes. It's not SOGI. And the gender harmony model does not include a notion of legal sex. So I'm not sure that we want to make some statement about that.
In that regard, I think we need to keep that distinction to indicate is that the value set for administrative is being used for administrative legal purposes in current, and gender harmony is additional data and perspectives that are being able to document. That starts to stray a little bit beyond because we're only looking at what's there, but we need to create this context to say that for additional perspectives, that's where gender harmony can be considered on how to, what value sets to use and how to represent that.
And I think my point earlier had been that the language currently in place represents current legal descriptors. If there's a change in legal descriptors, then the vocabulary set might need to change.
Okay. But perhaps we can work that through then in our drafting further. Yeah. We have to come a direction, and then we can in our drafting between now and next week further refine that and work our way through it.
Yeah, I was just looking for consensus on the concept, not necessarily the final language, so that there was agreement in the thrust, if not the specific words at the moment.
The administrative gender is kind of the least common denominator among legal sex descriptors, because different states have adopted kind of different approaches. They can all be mapped to administrative gender because administrative gender has the other value, and everything that is not male, female can go into other, but it doesn't really represent current approaches to describing legal sex, unless we're thinking the federal passport approach, which has a M, F, and X currently, as far as I know. So I think we're trying to be too specific in something that is just it's a useful value set. It should be maintained and enhanced if there are changes to legal sex descriptors evolve or something to that extent.
You said it much better than I did, but that was my intent. You said it much clearer than I did. Appreciate it.
Okay. Any other comments? Go ahead, Phil.
I was going to say, I cannot really repeat what I said, but it is being recorded, so we're all safe.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we have a recording. If we need to, we can go back. And as we wordsmith, then certainly look for that, that is being made more clear. Then we have the last one on the list there, race and ethnicity. So we had an open question there. Where did we land, and what was the remaining open topic to resolve? Or do we need to phrase something along similar lines here? We need to be aligned with USCDI. If there's a more current version, that should be considered. That should be considered in the same fashion as other code systems. So can we build it around that general paragraph that is currently copied in there as well? Or is there anything further unique to this that we need to add or instead of?
So I would just suggest this one's a little bit different because this standard does not define a code system. Underlying it is the CDC race and ethnicity code system. So that standard text doesn't totally align there.
Isn't that the value set that says
it's the white categories?
White, not Hispanic, Hispanic.
Yeah, it's the five and the two.
Yeah, it's the five and the right.
That's a value set. It's a value set for a very specific purpose, but it's a value set.
Well, but the name of that standard up there is not a value set in itself. That's what I was going on, is that standards reference is not the instantiation of a value set.
Correct. So I think what we need to make a general note here that we need to clarify the language to have the proper reference to code system, value set, standard, to make sure that there's no confusion around that. But I did not hear, unless you, and I might have missed that, is that the intent of what we're trying to say is still the same, just the wording is not accurate based on what that thing actually is. Is that fair, Carmela, or?
Yeah, and I would just call out that first sentence in the stock language has a little bit of a grammar issue. Okay.
Yeah, that will sort through that. Okay, though. Anything else then before that? Does that conclude then the review dash dispositions topic? And then we can jump into six? Group six, that is?
Yep.
Steve, anything else before we do that jump?
I think we're good.
Okay, let's then jump into six and see how far we can get. We have about 8-9 minutes for this discussion. Then we need to jump to public comments.
And if do, do, we, do want to remind task force members that they will have the ability to go in and make suggested changes to the text in the Google Doc document. And that's available 24/7 for the next several weeks.
Okay. Then let's look at six. We'll still use the spreadsheet for a moment because we can look at various other comments that were made there. First one, Fire US Core Implementation Guide. Currently in the rules, it is version 3.1.1. We have 4.0.0 available, and SFAP recently recognized that that can be used in support of USCDI version 1 as well. Then we also have available 5.0.1, which can be used to support version 2 of USCDI. So they are all available. And then there is nothing yet for USCDI version 3. That work is just starting to make sure that any gaps are filled. That will probably take until that's first half of next year when that will be done. Question is it April? Is it May? Is it March? Where will it fall to be published? If last year was a guidance, it will be late May, early June, or sometime in June. But hopefully it won't take that long this time. We'll see. So generally, this is also an area that if we are saying USCDI should go to a more current version, but there are these dependencies on the are there standards there or not? Generally, this sounds like that would be in the same category of we should go to a more current version, but depending on where USCDI is at, depending on where everything else is at, maturity, et cetera, we're not sure which one it is. Is it 6.0? Is it 7.0? Whatever it might be. That is then the right one. So with that in mind, should we model this closely to in the way that we're phrasing it with USCDI, but effectively on the flip side from the supporting standard perspective, you use that as our same premise, more current, don't know yet which version, needs to fit with USCDI that goes in at that point in time, and it needs to be sufficiently mature and used to ensure that it's easy to take on. Effectively the same element, just from the different context. Is that what we want to do, given the prior discussion, or is there something else that needs to be done, or that's not enough? Any thoughts there? If no further thoughts, we can keep on pondering, but unless there's concern, let's use that as our starting point for the draft. Let me make that note here. Similar as USCDI, but from this core perspective. Okay. Let me hold it so it's easy to find that it can go into the Word document. Next one is Fire Bulk. There is the version 1.0.0, SDU1 is in the regulation. There is a more current version of 2021 that's already in SFAP. So you have the opportunity to use something more current. And there is likely work in progress that at some point in time, even more current version would come out. I'm not sure when that might occur, but it's totally reasonable to expect that something will follow this one. Does that provide sufficient backdrop to do a similar approach as that? Probably makes sense to go to a more current version and consider which one it is at that point in time, whether it's the right one or whether it's 2.0 or maybe we're already at 4.0, who knows? Any thoughts? Not hearing any, and please stop me if I'm going too fast. That then most current should be considered. Okay, If we then go to the next one, this is the base fire standard. We currently have in the rule 401, the release 4 effectively. And that one is used, and based on that one, the various implementation guide, particularly US Core, is built on that. There is work in flight on a version 5 that is not planned to have any new normative content. It's more capabilities, but nothing additional will go normative. That is anticipated not to happen until version 6 at some point, release 6. Version 5 is expected to come out next year, first half perhaps, to come out. Question is that should we already indicate that, hey, consider that, keeping in mind, which is the big thing, that implementations are all based on release 4 at this point. Implementation guides would have to be upgraded. So after 5 is out, then all the implementation guides that are relevant would have to be uptaken to 5.0 because it has new stuff, some changes in there to accommodate that. So there are all kinds of things that need to happen. So here the question is it premature to say, is that look at the demo's current version? Perhaps you should always look at it. But if the timeline is going to be relatively short term, 5 would not be a viable candidate for some time, for at least another year at the earliest, because all those guides need to be updated. So what are some thoughts here as to how we want to couch that? Readiness to go consider something new or not, with all the other caveats around it's an NPM, RM, etc. Jeff, you have your hand up.
Yeah, just expanding on what you're saying and seconding it. Yeah, this one's tough because there's so much built on top of it, and shifting this is going to require so many other pieces to move. But at the same time, you don't want to lock us into version 4. I'm not sure exactly what the path would be or how we could move this, but it needs to.
So, go ahead, Cecile.
There is one piece that I think is important to move ahead with, which is the new subscription framework in Fire. It is definitely in R5, but it's also in R4B. So that is another piece that we should urge ONC to look at and see which one of those can be added to requirements, because it's a crucial functionality that would enable further uses of Fire, and I believe ONC, that's the goal of ONC, and so we need to work on promoting that.
So we need to couch this carefully, because even with R4B, there is the, I don't think it is as big, but there are some couple of areas where IGs would have to be updated as well to make sure it works with that. I'm typing something here that you cannot see yet because of the spreadsheet, but it is along the lines of that we should suggest to consider a new version, but because of new capabilities, like the example that Vasil provided, that would be valuable for new things to do. However, at the same point in time, we need to be very cautious that existing implementation guides are based on R4 and would also require a fair amount of work to potentially upgrade. And to support both 4 and a newer version has its own challenges. So we need to go to a public comment. So let's hold it there. I'll get complete typing. And then we come back if we have still time left with any final wrap up on that before we adjourn. So Mike, it's all yours.
All right, thanks Hans. We're gonna open up our call for public comments. If you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you happen to be on the phone only, press star 9 to raise your hand, and once called upon, press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. So let's see if anyone raises their hand. Not seeing any hands raised, Hans and Steve, so I'll turn it back to you.
Okie-do. So that didn't give me a lot of time to type. Shows you how slow I am, but I at least got this far. If you can display the spreadsheet again, and then we can spend 2 more minutes to maybe wrap this one up. And then we will wrap up the meeting with the next steps for next week. So in here, it is consider a newer version, for example, R4B or R5 for new capabilities such as subscription. And if we want to add a few more, but that's certainly one that jumps out, that will be valuable, while recognizing that any IGs referenced are based on FHIR R4, thus would require upgrades to align to be able to move everything consistently over to that next version. And that's going to be a balancing act on the based on timing, where we're at, how much time would be available to get this all done. The challenge would be is that when things are being proposed, do we already have those IGs or not? So it's going to be a complex a maze to go through. But the basic sentiment is that it makes sense to at some point in time to move forward and not stay with the release for a long period of time. Is that the basic essence that we're trying to then articulate a little bit better? Okay, I see Jim agrees. Anybody else? Okay, we'll have some wordsmithing to do here. Then looking at the clock, not sure whether we can still get one row or that we first look at next steps, Steve, for next week, and then we can address any questions around that. Do you want to take the next step for next week?
Sure. I think we're just looking at time to see if we can knock one more out, but I don't think we can. So we'll continue to work through the rest of group 6 and do a quick review of comments that have been entered into the new works or the new Google document as a quick update, quick general review of that. We'll also talk a little bit about our report out for the full HITECH meeting. Are there other pieces that you want to cover, Hans?
I think you covered them all. Probably in between, we want to look at, the main focus will be on the recommendations that need to be in play. We also, as we just talked about earlier, we need to have in the introductory sections some of the approach on how we went about it, etc. So likely we will see a initial draft beginning to shape as well, so that we can begin that effort. We might not fully review that next week, depends on how far we get. And I see just a note by Jeff. I'm gonna see whether I can have an opportunity to copy that into the notes here. Anything else, Steve, or any questions from anybody that we have? Okay.
Mike, are there pieces that we need to pick up administratively?
Just wanted to mention that for those of you that missed my comment in the beginning of the meeting, is that we'll send a link out to this Google Doc that Liz displayed earlier so that you all can go in and start wordsmithing it, and so that we could finalize the disposition we can finalize the disposition of any standards that are ready to be finalized. So that'll be coming out with the homework assignment, hopefully later today or sometime, you know, tomorrow.
Wonderful, thank you. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank all the task force members for their input and extend an extreme thank you to support staff and the presenters this morning. And again, thank you very much. And Hans, floor is yours.
Thank you. And looking forward to wrapping up group six next week and get into the final stretch. Looks like we are still tracking very well. So very much appreciate all the feedback of everybody and talk to you again next week. Thank you.